Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing, Mom?
Good, T. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How's that job as selectman going?
It is going well. It takes less time than campaigning, but the problems are more complicated. So in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's harder, but I like it. I really care about my town. It's where I'm raising my family. It's where my kids are going to school. So I want to make sure it works really, really well. And we have a lot of opportunity in Belmont to do some cool new things.
Do you feel like your real estate background helps you look at complex problems for the town a little bit differently?
Yes. I might even go a step further. It's not just being in real estate that helps, right? Because real estate helps you understand how neighborhoods and buildings and structures fit together, which is a lot of what towns. And being a real estate agent also means you're thinking a lot about quality of life in different areas. And that's also a lot of what towns do. But being a real estate agent, you're also basically a small business person. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I feel like I'm bringing to the select board is this intuition for, hey, how do we like fix our finances? Mm-hmm. The phrase I keep using is we've got to reach between every couch cushion.
Mm-hmm. Find that spare change, huh?
Yeah, find that spare change. And so we've had a couple of debates where I'm kind of like, guys, we sort of owe it to the taxpayers to do the fiscally responsible thing here.
Yes. And
we'll see how it shakes out. The thing is, the problem with that is when you're being fiscally responsible, you have to say no to a lot of people. And so maybe in 3 years, enough people get fed up with me and I'll lose.
No, but you know, it's a job that takes someone looking from above, and I'm sure it's complex. Anyway, I just thought I'd see how it was going.
Yeah, no, it's going really well. Okay, so this month, we're talking about entertaining ready spaces, right? And what today's buyers are looking for. So why don't we start with, what is an entertaining space or an entertaining ready space to you?
Typically, I think there's some that are inside mm-hmm. and some that are outside. And I think different people value interior spaces and some want it all to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have a short, warm weather season in New England. So some people prefer to put their energies into an interior space that will be used 9 months a year versus 3 months a year. Entertaining spaces to me are areas that send a message, whether or not it's like a game room or it's a wine cellar or it's in the outdoors. It could be a fireplace sitting area covered by a pergola, hot tub area that's got a grill beside it. So I think there's a vast way to look at it. And there oftentimes people have personal preferences that make a big difference.
Yeah. And I'll piggyback on that and say, look, entertaining means different things to different people. If you're thinking like, I want a space that holds a big party, then you need a big space to do that. I remember growing up, we had some friends that I think were clients of yours. He was like a CEO of one of those 128 tech companies, right? And they had a lot of very large spaces in their house because as a CEO of a big successful tech company, he had to do a lot of entertaining for large groups of people. And those entertaining spaces needed to be big and nice and reflect that he was the boss. And he needed a catering space in his house. That house was built for that kind of entertaining. I am not a CEO of a Beltway tech company.
Not yet. But
yeah, right. So my entertain's a little bit smaller scale. It's like me and maybe a dozen friends and our kids is kind of the scale that I'm at. I have smaller spaces that kind of brings the people at the party closer together so that we're all hanging out with each other.
Well, what's nice too, even in the smaller spaces, is if you have a deck area that's got dining and sitting and you've got a yard and you have young children, you have the advantage of adults sitting around talking, but having the ability to watch their kids, which is a little bit of separation, which sometimes is nice.
Yeah. So given that there's all these different kinds, what are the must-haves you need to have in any entertaining space?
I think you have to, whether it's big or small, decide how you're going to use it. Is it a large party entertaining space? Is it a cozy backyard with lights and fire pit or something like that. But I think the must-haves are relevant to the space definition you're giving.
Yeah. Can I throw an idea out there that's more specific? Sure. I think seating. You need to really think about every entertaining space, short of a dance floor, requires seating. And the seating needs to be of the kind and in the position required for the kind of entertaining you want to do. So if it's like an outdoor fire pit, you're going to want like Adirondack chairs around that. If it is a big kitchen island, you want to have some stools around there.
Right.
But no matter what, you almost always have seating.
The area.
And not everybody's going to be seated, right? A lot of entertaining spaces have open spaces for groups of people to stand and talk to each other. But you need at least one seat.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break, hear a question from the audience, and go from there.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom. So when you're touring homes with buyers who love to entertain, what's a feature that gets them excited or turns them off if it's missing?
One, it depends on the level and what kind of entertaining space they love.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that a lot of people love the new entertaining space outside that includes a built-in grill, refrigerator, patio area where they can entertain outside large parties and grill things and cook in a couple different places.
Yeah. Yeah, the outdoor spaces really
outdoor
took
barbecuing, I would say.
They really took off during the pandemic.
Yes.
Right? When we were all outside, had extra money to invest in our houses. And then they haven't really gone away. I don't know if I would hardscape as much as I felt like I wanted to during the pandemic.
I think some of that is driven by your yard. Because in your particular house, you have a deck that comes level and then you walk three steps or four steps down to ground level. So I think it depends on the terracing of the property or the land setting. Because it does make sense depending on the land that your house is built on.
Yes, exactly. It does depend on what kind of landscape you have.
I think it's nice to transition down at a couple different levels. If your house is built up high and you might have 10 steps to get into it, it's nice to have kind of a patio and then few steps, go down to the patio, few steps, then down a few more to get to ground level.
Mm-hmm.
Transition spaces.
Right, I agree. And then also it divides the kid activities and the grown-up activities.
Yeah.
So the kids can go and like shoot each other with water guns or whatever.
Yeah. And the parents hope they don't get hit.
It always happens. At some point, they're like, let's shoot the parents.
Yeah.
Or somebody comes up crying or something. It's very hard to push kids off into a corner and just do your own thing as a parent.
100%.
Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.